Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Wherever summer takes you, save on your journey with True North convenience stores and Red Bull. Enjoy the new Red Bull Summer Edition, White Peach, a perfect balance of bold, sweet, and refreshing. Right now, grab any 3 8-ounce Red Bull for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon, just in time for your next road trip. Save big all summer long with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. True North convenience stores, fast, friendly, clean.
And off, wait for it, we go. Fixed. I mean, why not start it off that way? Why not start it off with a little oopsie-doopsie? It doesn't matter. We're good. We're here. We're ready to roll. It's Thursday morning. It's going to be lit with a capital L, just like it was last night in Indianapolis, Indiana. You all recognize that this is not a fluke, and that when I told you that the Pacers could win this series, I wasn't messing around.
I love it so much. I love that all the TV guys predicted a sweep or all this kind of stuff, and now they're scrambling and probably, I said the whole time that this is going to happen.
You know what the difference between them and me is? I actually said the whole time that what's happening could happen. Great One was in on that pick, and I think, I could be wrong, I think it was just the two of us. I think across America, yeah, it was me and Lonzo.
You know who didn't do that? You know who picked his team to lose?
That would be one hating ass Mario.
That's a shame.
I swear, if that dude shows up on the show today at 9 a.m. when we talk to Hayton S. Mario about the NBA Finals, if that dude shows up today but not last week in a Pacers shirt, he is catching all of the smoke. All of it. He's catching all the smoke if he rolls up in a Pacers shirt today. Because buddy of the show, Hayton S. Mario, Mario Herring, from the BetMGM Network, who, again, will join us at 9 a.m. to break down last night's Game 3, a 116-107 win by the Indiana Pacers, was up in here last week, and he fell for the talking heads who said Thunder in 5. He showed up and said, if I recall correctly, that he did not think the Pacers could win this series and thought it was Thunder in 5, maybe 6. And let's keep it a buck. It theoretically could still be Thunder in 6, but that would require, after what happened last night, for them to win the next one. And I will keep it a buck on this, too. I do think the Thunder win the next one. I think the Thunder are going to win the next one. I think the Thunder are going to win Game 4. I think this is a 1-1 split. It makes it a 3-game series with the Thunder having home court. I never once said the Pacers will win this series. Yeah, I said it will not be a blowout.
I'm not sold on that. I think that they can win the next game. I think they found something last night. And when they were down going into the second quarter, fought their way back, had a lead at halftime. Third quarter, come out, lose that lead again. And then in the fourth quarter, they were able to come back, and you could just see it looked like they figured something out. Now, maybe they just figured something out for one night, but they definitely figured something out yesterday, and it may be the key to winning the series.
Well, I would start by saying they figured out that if you shoot 52% from the floor, you got a pretty good chance of winning. I think they figured out that if you bring Benedict Mathurin off the bench and it gives you 27 on 9 of 12 shooting, that'll help you out a lot. This game, and this game was back and forth through what? 4 minutes left in the fourth quarter? I mean, it was a good basketball game. Neither team ever gave it away. Neither team ever stopped rolling with the punches. Neither team ever stopped throwing punches. But I think when it came down to it, I do agree with Zoe. I think the Pacers figured it out. The thing is, standing across from him is the Thunder, who is still a really good basketball team, and will have the opportunity to figure something out between here and game four, which is what they did after game one. They realized what went sideways, what went squirrely for them towards the end of game one, which was effectively, if you let Tyrese Halliburton and those big old stones in the clutch of his start getting comfortable, start getting into some sets, he's going to make you pay for it. That's just what's going to happen. And I think that in looking at what we saw out of this team last night, the Indiana Pacers, the Thunder are still good enough to overcome the best you got out of the Pacers. And I will say that so far, and it's been three games, so it's not a big sample size, that was obviously in runaway the best game the Pacers have played in the finals so far. It was a complete spot. There were plenty of spots, and this isn't something I was ever worried about with the Pacers. But it was a spot that I think a lot of teams in the third quarter, there were two or three spots where SGA did SGA stuff. And the Thunder built up a little bit of a lead in the third quarter that I think a lot of teams might have looked at and said, oh, crap, here he goes. That's that man. But they kind of D'd up on SGA. They held him to a series low 24 points. Then they gave up 26 to Jay Will. They gave up 20 to Holmgren. But I'll tell you the other thing that came into play. The secret sauce in this one has been, for as much as we have talked about the Pacers being a really good and complete basketball team, the bench of the Thunder has won them the games that they have won. Well, I guess the game that they won in this series and the games that they won in the conference finals against Minnesota, a lot of that came down to the bench. It came down to Caruso. It came down to Hartenstein. Caruso went 2 of 5 from the floor, 8 points last night. Hartenstein had 4. Isaiah Joe came off the bench for 6 in 4 minutes, and that's it. That was your bench for the Thunder last night. But I also kind of went back and looked at some different spots between the Western Conference Finals and Game 2 that the Thunder won. And I think one of the things that kind of jumped out at me was that a lot of the spots where the Cha-Ching Thunder Moneyball bench was doing its thing and responsible for big runs and whatever, a lot of those bench spots came when the Thunder had a lead, when the Thunder were up 10, 12, 14, and they were able to say, bench, just go net zero, right? Like, we don't need you to go out there and dominate. We don't need you to go out there and go plus 15 in the plus minus. We just need you to go hold serve. Just go out there and be a net zero. Do not let them grow the lead, and do not go out there. You don't need to grow the lead. Just don't let it shrink. And there's not been a ton of pressure on the Thunder bench to perform in big spots because ultimately SGA kept coming off the floor to give way to the bench, and they would be up 10, 12, 14. So the bench didn't really have to do anything special. Last night, after the Pacers put up 40 in the second quarter, they won the second quarter by a dozen points. They were up by 4 at the half. Last night, after the Pacers put up a 40 spot in the second quarter, when it got to be bench minutes midway late into the third and then early in the fourth, and granted, the Thunder won the third by 9, but when it got to be the fourth, and especially in those first few minutes of the fourth, when SGA and Chet and the fellas were on the bench, and the bench had to succeed. They had to thrive. And they just didn't answer the bell last night. And it's not to say that they won't again. And it's not to say, again, I think the Thunder probably win game four. We got a day to talk about it. That next game is tomorrow night. But I just felt like the Pacers created a world last night where there was a lot of pressure on the Thunder bench to impact the game instead of just hold serve. And they just weren't up to that in that moment. I think you saw exactly what the Pacers' home court advantage was last night. The place was rocking. I think you saw exactly how comfortable the Pacers can be, even if they are down, because they, again, they lost the first period by eight. And when they came out in the second, man, like they were just blazing. It was a spot where I think some teams could have absolutely fallen off, and the Pacers were just comfortable. They were just fine with it. And on top of that, they were able to rely on their bench a little bit. Again, you got Mathurin with 27, McConnell with 10, 8 out of Obi Toppin. But Obi Toppin's 8, and I want to talk about that, because Obi Toppin's 8, specifically 4 of them in the fourth quarter, I think ultimately were what won this game. He had a putback dunk on a Halliburton miss, right? Halliburton hit a little fadeaway. It bounced way up. And as it was bounced around, this was a run of like 2 or 3 straight missed field goals for the Pacers. It bounced up off the rim. And as it was coming down, there were like 3 Thunder players under the basket. And I was watching this game from the bed last night. And when it's coming down, my head, I'm like, man, if Thunder get this board, like, they're about to go on a run. They're already on a baby run. They're going to go on a big run if they get this board. And then Obi Toppin materializes like he has the space stone out of nowhere. My man's, like, nips were at the rim. That's how high he was. That's how elevated he was. And he throws down a 2-handed, violent putback. And when that thing got flushed by Obi Toppin, I think that was the minute that I was like, this ball game. That's ball game.
See, I think McConnell was the key, because when he came in, the pace of the game changed. It got faster. Dude is tenacious. He didn't have as many points as you would go, oh, well, that guy wasn't impactful. But he absolutely was, because he's a terror. He's out there everywhere. And it looks like OKC doesn't want to match his speed. And I think that he really helped turn it around, too. I think... In the end, and we've talked about this a couple of times, these are two teams. There's not one guy standing out taking everything. It's a team effort, and as a team, it looked like Indiana went, yeah, we're not losing this game, and they didn't.
The Indiana Pacers, to me, we've talked about this 100 times, because this is the series. Like, I know we keep hitting on it, but we keep hitting on it because this is the series. The Indiana Pacers are a team that, A, I don't think there was a moment that they bought into or got scared of the Pacers or the Thunder being better, right? The Pacers ended the series at, what was it, minus 750 favorites? Second biggest favorites in the NBA Finals in 20 years? I don't think the Pacers cared. I don't think they ever bought into that. I think that, again, I've pointed out a number of times across every show I'm on that I think that the Thunder had a path to the finals that they could not have asked for a better route. The Timberwolves didn't play anybody. Yes, I include the Lakers in that. As much as I love the Luka-LeBron combo, you just can't win in the playoffs without a 7-footer. Yeah, you just can't do it. Neither one of these teams is doing it. And I would even go so far as to point out that when Chet Holmgren, like last night, a guy that I have given a bunch of flowers to for his growth as a player. Chet Holmgren is a player who is young and he is developing and he is getting better, and you can see it game by game. And when he is off, and it's not like he had a bad night last night. He did have 20 points, 6 of 15 from the floor, 10 boards, I think a couple of assists and a steal somewhere in there. While Chet Holmgren did not have a bad night, he did not have a night that this team has grown to rely on him. And when his play goes downhill, and especially if they want to go to the bench, if they go with the double bigs, if they end up with Jalen Williams out there or Isaiah Hartenstein out there. So Hartenstein had 4 on 2 of 3 shooting.
By the way, really quick, his tattoo, that thing, I couldn't tell, that thing stood out. That is some great artwork.
Hartenstein's?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You didn't know. When they showed it, there's no color in it or anything, but it just really stood out.
Yeah. He's got some good work. I think that when Chet is off, and again, it's not like it was a bad night, but it just wasn't the night that they've been getting used to having out of Chet in their biggest games. And when he goes away, especially when, and again, Miles Turner is not a dominant force. 3 of 11, 1 of 4 from 3, which I don't understand. I genuinely don't understand. Like, Miles Turner is 100% the reason that so many people are complaining about so many threes. Why is Miles Turner going 1 of 4 from behind the arc? Like, what? Why? I think one of them was a shot clock challenge, right? Like, one of them, he ended up with the ball outside the key, and the shot clock was about to go out, and he just had to put something up. But why is Miles Turner putting up 4 threes in this game? In a game that was not over until the last minute and a half or so. But 9 points. Miles Turner had 2 rebounds in this game. 2. Miles Turner is not expected to be that guy. That's not what the Pacers have won on. That is Chet's growth, what the Thunder have won on. Miles Turner is thrown in there to be a distraction so that the Pacers can play outside in basketball. This is a big part of the reason that I like the Pacers, maybe not to win the series, but to be competitive when very few people thought that they would, thought this was going to be a wrap. Because the Pacers play an all-over-the-court style that everybody's going to get involved, and it is 100% going to be you have 2 options. You can guard Miles Turner, in which case he's only going to get, 8, 9, 10 points, but we're going to have guys from around the arc playing into you, and you're going to have to move around us. Or you can leave Miles Turner alone, and if we can create some one-on-one scenarios for him down low, because you're outside trying to defend everybody else wearing bright yellow, then we're more than happy to let Miles Turner get the garbage points, the buckets, the easy bunnies, whatever. Last night they tried to play, or last night they played some inside basketball. The last 2 games, really, the Thunder have kind of went, like we talked about, that Twin Towers philosophy. We're going to put, at any given point, 7 foot, 7 foot, 7 foot, 6'10", 6'10", 7 foot. We're going to have 2 big guys down there, and we're going to eliminate that, and that's usually a pretty good outcome for Indiana. I thought last night for the Pacers, they took advantage of, and again, this is Rick Carlisle. This is the best coach in the NBA, in my opinion. This is Rick Carlisle. I thought last night Rick Carlisle recognized what the Thunder were doing defensively. He opened up the game from the outside in. They figured out off the bench who was the hot hand, gave them some extended extra minutes. I think Mathurin went 22 minutes, 24 minutes in that game last night, gave them some extra minutes, allowed Tyrese and Pascal Siakam to kind of catch a breather. I think Halliburton played 35 minutes last night. Siakam played 30, 31, 32. When those guys were able to catch breathers in the biggest moments of the game, when SGA is out there playing 42 minutes, like, there's a big difference in that. So last night was Pacers basketball. Last night was the game that I expected them to have. I had money on them. They were plus 80 on the money just to win. Plus 180 last night. That's a stupid number. This series is never going to get that out of hand. All right, we'll break this down a little bit more coming up later on in the show. Lulu Kesson at 8 a.m. to talk Gamecocks. Rashad Beard's got to get moved tomorrow. We'll have him at 8:40. He's got to go into the office today. Mario will be here at 9. Fight Club at 9:20. All coming up. Let's have a day, y'all. The Rob Brown Show is on the Fan Upstate.
Thank you. Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Talking game three reaction from last night's NBA Finals. This series, we have gone over it multiple times. This series is the two best teams, not necessarily in terms of talent on paper, but the two best teams in terms of playing full all-around team basketball. Excellent ball movement. Good defense, no problem getting up and down the court, no problem sharing the spotlight, understanding the chemistry, the timing, everything about these two teams are stellar. But it was, to me, it was the second period, the second, I'm in hockey mode right now because it's game four tonight in the Stanley Cup Finals. We're coming to that too. In the second quarter of this game last night, I think that what I have been saying about this series was illustrated at its finest. In the second quarter of this game last night, the Thunder just looked like a regular basketball team, right? Like they just looked like a good NBA team. They didn't look special. In the second quarter of this game last night, there was a spot where I thought the Pacers are better. Not this is a good team and they have a shot and, you know, if they get everything right and if they hit their spots and get their... It wasn't that. They looked like a better basketball team last night. There was one particular moment that kind of jumped out at me, and I wonder if you remember this particular spot. Great one. There was a spot about midway through the second quarter when Kayson Wallace took the ball to the rack and absorbed some contact, tough layup, got it in the paint, got the and one, and it was kind of an iffy foul. I thought he kind of SGA'd it a little bit. I think he kind of threw himself into TJ McConnell a little bit. I think he kind of threw himself off balance, and I think he got a little bit of a ticky-tack call. But hey, fine, whatever it is, what it is. The shot went down, and on the other side, after the free throw, there was an inbound pass. McConnell ended up taking the inbound pass, went down to the other end, and this Pacer offense just went full attack mode. That is a spot that I think a lot of NBA teams and a lot of NBA players, after, and I think justifiably, being upset about that call. I think a lot of NBA teams might have gone down to the other end and kind of had a different mentality to the game. On the flip side, the Pacers came down to the other end and they still ran their set, but it's like they ran that set with the mob mentality of, we're getting that one back. That was BS. That was garbage. You got a freebie. We're getting that one back. And the Pacers sent, I think, five different guys on runs to the basket. Set up their big man in the middle. That's what the Pacers do. And then they just started running streamers to the basket, one after the next, after the next, after the next. And eventually, and I don't remember who it was that made the cut that made this play work, but they made a cut from just outside of the top of the three-point line, kind of took a step parallel to the three-point line, then dove and ran along the lane, ran around the border of the lane. Benedict Mathurin was out there in the corner. McConnell was up top. The cutter came from the other side, dove down the lane. The defender down on the inside stood there, and whoever was, and I should remember this, but whoever was defending Benedict on the outside saw the cutter, saw that they had face time to the ball, stepped into the passing lane. It left Benedict open outside the three. McConnell saw that, faked the in pass, threw it out to the corner, and of course, Mathurin's got to hit the shot or else it's irrelevant, but he knocks down the three, and you could watch this team kind of all give each other the old, like, that's it, that's what we do, that's what we're going to do here. That three kind of started a bit of a run for the Pacers, who ended up winning that quarter by, I think, a dozen. They had 40 in it, but the rest of that quarter, it looked like, and I don't know if it was in response to that or if there was another trigger to it or whatever, though that felt like a big moment. For the rest of that quarter, the Thunder defense looked like they were just afraid of getting beat.
All right, that was my point in the first segment when McConnell came in. That dude's got an intensity on his face. He looked angry. He's one of those guys, when he comes in, everybody else takes on his mentality. And I get that you can't play him the entire game, but they need to use him better in places like that, because I think he was a shot in the arm they needed to go, hey, we can play with these guys, and we can be just as mean as they are when they want to be mean. The other problem I have, I thought there was inconsistent foul calls last night. And I have a hard time. You know what? When the announcers don't know what a foul is, how are we supposed to know? There was an argument between Doris Burke and Richard Jefferson.
Was it on the SGA shot?
I believe it was.
I know exactly the moment you're talking about.
She's like, well, that's not a foul. And Richard Jefferson's like, well, that is a foul. And then she's like, oh, well, yeah, I could see that. He grabbed his arm. It's like, I don't know if they're conditioned to not go, why are they not calling that foul or something?
Well, keep in mind, though, and this one you got to go back for, but I think it was game five of the Western Conference Finals, Doris kind of went viral on social media for a minute because she brought up the SGA as a free throw merchant conversation, right? She's like, in there, you know, it's a little bit dramatic, kind of threw himself out of that foul a little bit. And I, you know, listen, as a, as the designated charge taker of my high school basketball team, right? How do you take a charge? When you take that charge, you throw yourself backwards to the hardwood as if you have just been hit in the chest by a mortar round. You throw yourself to the ground as if the cure to every disease is in between the cracks of the basketball
floor. Which is why you're also undefeated in the wrestling ring.
Oh, 100%. I know how to take a bump. So SGA did that last night. There was a drive. I think he was going left-hand side, and I don't remember who was down there. Turner or somebody was down there. And SGA took some contact. I'm not going to disagree, but, and it was, I think Breen even pointed out that the defender who was going to the basket guarding SGA was body to SGA. We talked about this last week. Palms up, right? Like, if you're defending, this is what I tell the youths of America when I coach ball. When you're defending in the paint, make sure the refs can see your palms. If there is any point that your palm disappears, they're going to call a foul. Whether you're touching the body or you're reaching for the ball, if the palm disappears in the paint, they are going to call. So defender goes palms up. They go straight down the line, straight down the border to the lane, right? They got foot on the border all the way down. SGA is rolling down with them, kind of fades into the defender, gets the bump off the defender's chest, but then he throws himself to the ground into photographer's row underneath the basket, behind the basket. And there's no foul. To the referee's credit, no foul called, right? They come back on a replay a couple of minutes later, and you are right. I remember that moment exactly because Doris Burke comes back, who, by the way, shout out Doris Burke. I think she's doing a great job in these finals. They come back, and Doris Burke is like, SGA looking for a call there. Don't think he's going to get that. I don't really see that that's a foul. He initiated the contact. And then I think he, and I'm not quoting her, but basically paraphrasing, I think he got a little bit of an exaggerative toss of himself to the ground there. And Jefferson was like, oh no, it's a foul. Look at the arm over here. And there was a moment when N arm kind of ended up near SGA, but I didn't think it was a foul either. I thought that SGA kind of initiated the contact.
I'm not sure what a foul is. So, I mean, to me, there are a lot of fouls, just like there are travels. There are, you know, not that gathering step that they talk about. There's just a lot of things that are very subjective.
I don't disagree. This is why.
Unlike other sports, they're never going to be able to use the robo umps.
Exactly what I was about to say. This is the reason why I've said basketball, because of the amount of subjectivity. There are some things that are not subjective. A travel is a travel. That I don't know what I was calling it, but a travel is a travel. But the a foul, different refs are going to have different
ideas. Like, what is that? The carry, you know, where you do the turn the ball over while you're dribbling. They never call that. I mean, there's just a lot of things that you learn from Pee Wee up through high school that doesn't matter when you get to the NBA.
I'm not going to necessarily disagree, and I do think it is one of the biggest problems the NBA has, but I also recognize that they ain't dumb, and it's that way for a reason, because I do think that while we can sit in here and complain about, oh, we don't like that, and this should be calls or whatever, there is a noted reaction. I was on Instagram a handful of days ago, and there was a video going around, and it's a bit of an older video, and this does serve a point for the conversation, so I'm getting back to it. But there was a video going around of a high school basketball game, like a tournament, and kid comes down the floor with, you know, 5-6 seconds left. He goes to the left. The defense backs off a little bit, and this kid very clearly walks, very clearly travels, picks up the ball, takes like 4 steps off the dribble to get to the 3-point line, puts up a 3, and he beats the buzzer. And then the ref on the near side blows the whistle, calls a travel, and waves off the shot. And there was an Instagram account that posted it. And it said, the caption was like, travel or nah. And I'm like, what do you mean or nah? It's like definition. So I go into the comment section, and the comment section is filled with people, some of whom are like, oh, it's not a travel, it's a gather. It's like, dude, he took 4 steps. Like, I don't even really fully understand the gather rule, but like, fine, whatever. He took 4 steps. And then there was a million comments from people who were like, yeah, like maybe he traveled a little bit, but what a moment. You can't call off a buzzer beater because he traveled. It's like, dude, he wouldn't hit the buzzer beater if he didn't travel. Yeah, you call that off. But the point here is, a lot of the reason that a lot of the calls in the NBA are the way they are, or aren't the way they are is because we react to them certain ways. Like a lot of, a large portion of the basketball world has already proven to me that they are fine with the guy traveling if he does something really cool, right? And I think there's a lot of that in SGA's game. And again, if he's going to get the call, take the call. But when that foul went down and Doris called it out and Jefferson was like, oh, no, it's definitely a foul, which, by the way, 100% a player is going to be like, yeah, that's a foul. But when that happened, I'm like, yeah, this is kind of where we are. But the point there, throughout that second period, even though the Thunder did come back and the Thunder did end up taking a lead in both the third and the fourth, in that period, I thought the Pacers made the Thunder look like a regular old basketball team, like a good but a regular NBA team, just by not falling for what the Thunder want to do, which is kind of make it physical, kind of get into your chest a little bit and make you back up so that they have room to play offense. The Pacers didn't go for that, and I love that. All right, when we come back here in a minute, we talked about the fact that the NCAA v. House settlement was coming down the pipe and the next thing was going to be appeals and all that. Our first major appeal has been filed, and I think it could have a very interesting discussion around it that is going to hurt some people's feelings. And I'm probably going to be the one to do it next on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. And let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
I got nothing.
No, that was me.
Oh, okay.
Because I played a cut, but I didn't have it up, so it just caught the end of it, which was screaming.
I just heard some lady screaming off in the
distance.
It
was, excuse me while I whip this out. It was that thing, and at the end they scream, but because I didn't have my fader up, it just caught the screaming part.
The Rob Brown Show on the radio. It is the Fan Upstate. Rob Brown, the great Milonzo, and you. 844-326-3776. 3663 is the Hub City Spartanburger text line, and it is open for you. 844-326-3663 is the number. You can also utilize that number to call the radio broadcast and be on the air. We are about to start having a very interesting conversation take place in the landscape of sports. We had the House v. NCAA settlement that came down the pipe last Friday night. And as I told you last Friday night, the next step in this process was going to see what appeals were filed, and with those appeals, if there would be a stop of any type to the House v. NCAA terms going into effect. Now, the reality is we're going to have appeals. The question mark is, would any of them have any weight to them that would cause the process to hit a snag, to pause, especially considering how many moving parts have deadlines in the next week, 2 weeks, 1 month, etc., that are critical to the new terms being put into place, for the new processes being into place, for the new rules and regulations going into place, and all of that happening in enough advance of football season that we can enter football season just worried about football. Well, according to a number of legal outlets yesterday, including Front Office Sports, who does report on a lot of the legislative stuff going on around the House v. NCAA settlement. We do not know who they are yet. This will probably come out either today, tomorrow, or early next week. But the first appeal that does appear to have some weight attached to it, which means it's going to have to be taken seriously. It may very well end up being an appeal that ends up in a courtroom in front of an appellate court, and it may have the power to force a stay of the House v. NCAA settlement. A group of women's athletes are filing an appeal of the House v. NCAA settlement, arguing that it violates the Title IX gender equity statute, according to Front Office Sports. Now, Front Office Sports has not put up any more details about that. They have not put forward any more of what the argument is. They have not talked about what that appeal is actually leaning on in terms of its terms, I guess. That's a really dumb way to put that, but you get what I'm saying. They haven't really put out much information about what the appeal says. Now, Title IX is something that was brought up a lot of times by a lot of folks when this settlement came down, because it is something that is going to be brought into question. We have the $20.5 million revenue split cap that schools in the Power Four conferences are beholden to, and that schools outside of the Power Four conferences are allowed to participate in, though we're not obligated to, allowed to should they decide to. And we all have discussed at length that obviously the majority of that cap is going to go to the revenue producing sports, which effectively is basketball, football, and maybe a smattering of baseball teams for a couple of schools. And that's pretty much it. That's pretty much the list. But one of the big questions that we have had over the past couple of days, and I will also tell you that we are going to try to get an answer to this conversation tomorrow, because we are going to be joined on the show tomorrow, and I'm actually quite excited about this. We are going to be joined tomorrow on the show by two NIL and sports litigation experts. Matt Hand is the president and CEO of Alta Sports. He is going to join us. Alta Sports is a major NIL collective, and Matt Hand is an attorney who runs that collective, who is very dialed into the NIL world. And we are going to be joined by Norm O'Reilly, who is the Dean of the College of Business and the Executive Director of the Center for Sport and Business Innovation for the University of New England. He is going to join us on the show tomorrow. Both of them are confirmed. I will let you know the times. We are in discussion to figure out exactly where they slot into the show, but I can tell you that Norm will be joining the show sometime tomorrow between 6 a.m. and 7:30, and Matt Hand will be joining the show somewhere between 8 a.m. and the end of the show. So we will have the NIL and the House v. NCAA settlement discussion with somebody from the athlete side in Matt Hand and somebody from the legal and business side in Norm O'Reilly tomorrow morning on the show. I'm actually very excited about both of those conversations. So one of the discussions, and we will ask tomorrow Norm O'Reilly about this, is where does that revenue cap fit? Does it fit? Is it beholden to Title IX obligations? Of course, Title IX, the federal mandate that schools must provide equal access and resources for women's sports as men's sports if they are receiving federal or state funding. And obviously, it's a lot deeper than that, but that's just the 10,000-foot view of it. And so the question mark is Title IX going to obligate that 50%, 10%, 20%, nothing is given out of the revenue split to female athletes on campus? Because my suspicion is going to be that a part of the appeal that we are getting that is going to come down in the next couple of days from a group of female college athletes is going to be, hey, we're entitled to some of that as well. And the argument, I think you're going to hear from a lot of people. I do not know if this is the argument that the colleges are going to make. Is going to be, if you want a part of the revenue share, you have to generate revenue. Football, basketball, and maybe the occasional baseball team are going to generate revenue for schools, by and large, with the exception perhaps with the growth of women's basketball lately. And maybe, I guess to some degree, the Women's College World Series, which averaged, I think, 1.3 million viewers per game through the finals. The game three of the championship between Texas and Texas Tech, I think at its peak, had like 2.1 million viewers, which is not nothing, and it is growth in the popularity of the sport, but it's not getting anybody any massive TV deals, right? That's football. That's basketball, specifically the March Madness tournament. Maybe when we get updated numbers, and I suspect that because of this appeal, we probably will, perhaps there's a chance that the women's March Madness tournament starts to generate enough income that they could argue for a bit of the revenue split there. But I found out yesterday, and again, this is coming from somebody who is an advocate for women's sports. Last year, there was one women's athletic team that generated revenue. Nebraska's volleyball team. Across all of sports. This is what I have to go do a little bit more fact checking on this. My source, my two sources I saw yesterday were that last year, one individual team actually generated more money than they cost. And that was Nebraska's women's volleyball. Remember, they were on that tour where they were doing like, I think they played in their football stadium. If I recall correctly, I think they played in Michigan at the Big House, like in the football stadium at one point. Nebraska's women's volleyball team brought in enough money to be considered a revenue positive last year. Outside of that, while I am a fan and proponent of them, women's sports, by and large, just doesn't generate revenue. But they're going to make the argument that even if they don't, women's sports are part and parcel to the overall athletic department of a school, and therefore they should be entitled to some portion of the $20.5 million revenue split. This is why, even though I am in favor of the revenue sharing concept, I prefer to lean on NIL. Because NIL allows athletes to make as much money as they can with their own brand. The one thing the school does not own is their name, image, and their likeness. So I don't have an issue with
it. I know you're saying that, but how well do the women's teams do right now with NIL?
I that would probably be on a school-by-school, athlete-by-athlete basis. I expect that. We know Cam Brink was making money when she was playing college ball. She was on that New Balance scholarship or New Balance NIL just like Cooper Flagg was. I have to imagine that there are or will be and have been a couple of USC, South Carolina women's basketball players that have gotten some love. Now, I will say this. USC basketball, South Carolina women's basketball this year, was obviously one of the flagship teams in women's basketball, but they didn't really have that one superstar this year, right? They didn't have a Caitlin Clark. They didn't have a Paige Beckers. They didn't have a Cam Brink. They didn't have a Juju Watkins. They didn't have that one player. Caitlin Clark, while at Iowa, was doing numbers. I think if I recall correctly, didn't her State Farm endorsement start when she was at Iowa? So there are going to be some of them. But again, the whole premise of NIL is you can use your name, your image and likeness, and your success with sports to sell you, nothing else, nothing connected to the school, but to sell you. And if the school allows you, sure, whatever. But the revenue sharing thing, this is going to be, while I am glad that it is happening, and I do think with as much money that we have seen thrown around in the world of college football, in the world of college basketball, with as much money that is thrown around, I think the people who actually perform so that we have the product that we spend as much money as we do being involved with and watching on TV and generating those tens of billions of dollars in TV contracts.
So I'm looking some things up, and there are some players that look like they make more money than their team does.
I'm sure there are. Good for them. And by the way,
yeah, I don't.
Good for them.
I mean, it sucks, but I don't disparage them for doing that.
Welcome to America, where we care more about individual stars than we care about teams. That's just the reality. And on top of that, here's the thing. I'm a big Caitlin Clark guy, all right? I got my Caitlin Clark jersey is supposed to be here in the next handful of days. Takes forever to ship. I don't know why that's taking so long. I assume it's on back order. My Caitlin Clark jersey's on the way. I'm a Caitlin Clark.
Probably coming from China. It takes a while to get from there.
Maybe so.
Yeah.
They got tariffs to worry about.
I got seat covers coming from China and for my smart car. And it's taken a while for them to get here.
Yeah, it's taken forever.
Found out they're in New York yesterday. So I know.
Well, they're good. They said they're domestic now. That's great. My Caitlin Clark jersey.
I hope your Caitlin Clark jersey has made it to America.
I'm gonna go ahead and say when it does get here, it's warm enough outside for I think the return of Tank Top Thursdays. All right, I think we're bringing it back.
But here's the thing. Are you going without anything underneath?
You're going straight up jersey. That's a tank top. That's what I did last year.
I
did it last year. We're bringing it back, baby.
Okay.
And the Red Fever 22 jersey is going to be the D-Butt jersey for Tank Top Thursday this year. So my Caitlin Clark jersey's on the way. And the point here is I am a Caitlin Clark stan. No bones about it. Got no problem with it. I'm not an Indiana Fever fan. I mean, I like him because Double C plays for him. I'm an Asia Wilson fan. I love watching her ball out. She's having another season.
Asia Wilson.
I love Asia Wilson. I am not an Aces fan. I love Paige Beckers. I'm not a Dallas Wings fan. But when Caitlin Clark was at Iowa, I'm not an Iowa fan. But I love Double C playing ball and playing college hoops. So it makes sense that she would make more money than Iowa basketball would. And that's why this appeal is going to be so interesting. That's why this appeal is going to be so interesting, because the argument's going to be, in order to revenue share, you got to bring revenue. And the women's sports just do not. So take your NIL, be happy with it, bust your ass to build a brand, make money over there, and it is what it is. But I don't know if that's what the appeal argument is going to be, and I don't know if that's going to stand up in a court. You know what I do know is going to stand up? The performance of this sports flash.
Yeah, because
I almost said something I was really going to run and take back there.
Well, I'm glad you fixed that. And plus, I'm not standing up to do it. I don't think I can read and stand up. Maybe I can. I don't know. The Indiana Pacers are back in control of the NBA Finals with a 116-107 win last night over the Oklahoma City Thunder and now lead the series 2-1. Tyrese Haliburton had 21 with 11 assists and Pascal Siakam had 21. Game 4 is tomorrow night. The Atlanta Braves picked up a 6-2 win at Milwaukee yesterday behind a complete game effort from Spencer Schwalenbach, who allowed just 5 hits and 2 runs while striking out 9. Atlanta's offense collected 10 hits, including a pair of 2-run home runs, that's also known as home runs, from Ronald Acuna Jr. and Michael Harris II. Former South Carolina Gamecock and 3-time WNBA MVP A.J. Wilson left a 97-89 Las Vegas Aces loss to Sparks last night with a head injury. Wilson was struck in the face while defending a drive. She's going to be reevaluated today. It was a little bloody.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports. Other days it's cooking or music or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery, though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.